As a matter of fact, the psalmist said, I wander off to the wilderness. I will just move to nothing. It's better to be in the wilderness than to face the problem. And the third manifestation, or the third effect of the spirit of fear, is escape. He says, I will hasten my escape. This refers to taking refuge in temporary relief. What could a temporary relief be? It could be alcohol. Let me drink my sorrows away. Drugs. I hear these days people are taking a legitimately prescribed pain relief, tramadol, to escape. To escape. Some people take alcohol. People take drugs. People take marijuana. People just get into sex, running away for sex, for fun, for entertainment, just to occupy emptiness. Some are trying to escape their inner emptiness. They feel dry. Some are escaping the stress of their marriages. Some are running away from painful memories. You can't escape. You have to stay and deal with the problem, because God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. He didn't call us to escape. He didn't call us to fly away. He didn't call us to wander off. As bad as the situation is, I came here to tell somebody, you can face it and you will win it. It seems terrifying. It seems intimidating. Your stomach is turning into circles. Your heart is beating. You are stressed. That's all right. But remember, all that effect is not from God. God never promised us a problem-free life. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. God never said you will not have problems. You're going to have them, but you will come out of them. You will succeed. You will not fly away. You will not wander off. You will not escape. You're not going to start taking up alcohol. You're not going to drink your sorrows away, because alcohol cannot take your sorrows away. It complicates your sorrows with a headache. You're going to wake up the next morning with a hangover and the problem still hanging in there. You cannot deal with sex. You're going to go and have your fun and come and face a problem, and now you're wondering, did I get AIDS too? Don't complicate your problem. Don't fly away. Don't wander off. Don't escape. Stand and face it. God has not given us the spirit of fear. I don't know what you're dealing with in life. I don't know what you're struggling with. I don't know what you're faced with. I don't know what the enemy has brought against you. Maybe you feel inadequate. You feel so small. You feel incapable. And you feel like running. But that urge to run is not from God. It's not from God. So how are we going to deal with this spirit of fear? Jesus tells us a few things. But before we get to what Jesus says, look at what Paul says to Timothy. He says, therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. How are we going to deal with the spirit of fear? He says, remember your story. Know where God has brought you from. He says, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, I am persuaded is in you. He says to Timothy, remember where you are coming from. Remember the journey God has taken you on. It may not always be your ancestry, but each one of us have a journey of grace with God. Remember how far God has brought you. Remember the journey he's been with you on. To Timothy, he says, remember your mother. Remember your grandmother. Look back and see how I've been faithful to you in the past. And I'll be faithful with you to you in the present. Maybe it may not be your grandmother or your mother, but look at the journey that God has been with you. And then he says, remember God's grace. Know what God has imparted to you. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. The word gift in that passage is charisma. Charisma. Charisma means an act of grace, a gift of grace. Remember what God has imparted to you. One of the things you're going to realize about God is that he's always a God of compensation. God is a God of compensation. When you are weak in one area, he'll compensate you in another area. He has designed us for compensation. That is why sometimes somebody may be blind in the eye, but their ears become more acute. They hear so much that the hearing makes up for the sight loss. There are people who do not hear but see clearly. When one part of your body is not working, God will compensate with another part of your body. I've seen people who were born without legs and arms and still manage to live life and grow and have babies. How did they manage? He's a God of compensation. Somebody has no arm, but their feet becomes flexible to take the place of the arm. God will always grace you with a compensation. You don't have this, but he'll give you double of that. So you don't have arms. Your legs are now functioning like arms and legs. You can feed yourself with your legs and walk on it at the same time. I would not dream of feeding myself with my legs. He's a God of compensation. He will never leave you empty. He will never leave you dry. So Paul says, remember Timothy, I laid hands on you. I imparted something to you. You may be young. You may not feel adequate. You may have your stomach problems, but you have grace upon your life. You have grace upon your life. You have gifting. Don't let your stomach ache be the only consideration in your life. You also have an anointing. You may still live with a stomach ache for life, but the anointing also is for life. God is a God of compensation. You know, many times as charismatics, we expect that people's problems will be solved instantly. What I've come to realize is people's problems don't always get solved instantly. Sometimes people live with their problems, but the grace of God is sufficient for them. The Apostle Paul himself talks about his own infirmity. He says, I sought the Lord 3 times concerning this problem. He didn't take it away. He just said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, and my strength is made perfect in your weakness. For when you are weak, then I am strong. It's called compensation. He's a God of compensation. The grace of God. Remember God's grace in your life. And then he says, remember your gifts. Don't forget your gifts. Stir up your gifts. Know how to stir and perfect your gifts. In other words, you may have problems, but your gift will compensate for your weakness. I've said this many times. When we say somebody is the greatest footballer in the world, and that's a very debatable question, there are 11 positions on a football team. He plays only one. How can he be greater than the goalkeeper? Because he's not a goalkeeper. How can he be greater than a defender? He's not a defender. Because when your gift is so strong, it swallows up what you can do. It compensates for your inability. So when you think of the person, you think of his strength, not his weakness. What Paul is saying to Timothy, you are focusing too much on your weakness. Focus on your gifting. Stir up your gift. Because if you stir up your gift, you'll even forget the things you don't have. Somebody who is a good singer may not be a good cook, but who cares? You may be a great footballer, but your English is horrible, but who cares? Nobody's going to judge you by mathematics. We don't know how brilliant Ronaldo is with mathematics or physics or geography. Maybe he scored fail in all his subjects, but he scored pass and excellent and extraordinary in his feet. And at this point, you don't care whether he failed in one subject, we judge him by his strength. God says, stir up your gift. Use your gift. Use your ability. Don't think about what you don't have. Think about what you have. He will never leave you empty. He will never leave you zero. You may not have this, but you have that. You may not have that, but you have this. You may be empty here, but you are full here. He says, stir up your gift. Don't stir up your fears. Because your gift will make a way for you. Many times when you are in trouble, God uses your gift to get you out of the trouble. Focus on your gift. Focus on your strength. Focus on your ability. Focus on what God has blessed you with. Don't say, well, I don't have. You may not have money, but you have ideas. You are broke today, but you are brilliant with ideas. Stir up your gift, because your gift will give you the money. If you focus on what I don't have nobody to help me. Stir up your gift. Use your gift. Use the skills God has given to you. Finally, let's look at what Jesus said about dealing with the spirit of fear. Luke chapter 21, verses 12 to 19. Luke 21, 12 to 19. Jesus is talking about the things we're going to face in life, about his disciples. He says, but before all these things, they shall lay hands on you, not to heal you, but to persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons. You'll be brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake, but it will turn out for you as an occasion for testimony. Therefore, settle it in your hearts. Do not meditate beforehand what you will answer, for I'll give you a word and wisdom which all your adversaries will not be able to contradict or resist. You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. And you'll be hated by all for my name's sake, but not a hair of your head will be lost. By your patience, possess your souls. I like that phrase. By your patience, possess your souls. The word translated patience is steadfastness or persistence. Possess your soul. By your patience, calm your heart. Calm your soul. By your patience. You know, I've always wondered how soldiers are able to go into battle. Sometimes I watch movies. I don't know what happens in movies is what happens in real life, because I haven't been to war, so I can. You watch soldiers go into a battlefront and bullets are flying in their direction. Bombs are flying in direction. And they're going. These are human beings. They are not superhuman beings. I mean, they are human beings. Everybody has fear. Nobody runs towards the bullet. So how come the soldiers run towards the bullet and they're running? They're running because of two commands. When the leader, the captain, platoon leader, whatever, general says, forward march. That's it. Second command, charge. That's it. That's what keeps them alive. Forward march. Charge. And when they start marching forward, they don't think about bullets any longer. All they want is, I'm moving forward and I'm charging. I came here to tell somebody that command still stands for you. God says to you, forward, march, and charge. There will be bullets flying. There will be enemies on the other side. But we are moving forward and we are charging forward, because that is the only way to possess your soul. That's how the soldier overcomes his fear. He doesn't turn into another person. It's just that he's following only two commands. Forward march and charge. I don't know what the enemy plays in front of you. It's time to march forward. And it's time to charge. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but he has given us the spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Somebody say, I'm moving forward. I'm charging forward. No turning back. No surrender. Say, I'm moving forward. I'm moving forward. No turning back. No surrender. That is the spirit God has given to you. By patience, by steadfast movement, we will possess our soul. Lift up your hands to God and begin to talk to the Lord and say, Father, I'm not bowing out of this problem. Father, in the name of Jesus, I speak over the lives of your people, and I come against the spirit of fear, of timidity and cowardice, the spirit of intimidation that sits upon the heads of your people, that cripples their heart and their initiative. I came against that spirit in this auditorium, all over this place. I came against it in your life, dear one. And I bind that spirit and I cast it out. You will not be fearful. You will not be intimidated. You will be courageous. You will be bold. You will not fly away. You will not wander off. You will not escape to the wilderness. You will charge forward. You will go forward. You will possess your testimony. And nothing on your head will be lost. Not one hair on your head will be lost. I came here to proclaim to you by the word of God. God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of love, of power, and of a sound mind. Forward march and charge ahead. In Jesus' name, amen.